have to start, Jonte? We're at 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Now I Paul myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent, and bold towards you.
Okay, you might want to highlight the word bold there. Okay, because that also has to do like as zealously, openly and zealous, okay, addressing these things. Openly and zealous addressing these things. Okay, bold. Okay, and I'm on Frankos, verse 2.
Will I deceive you, that I may not be old, when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be old, bold against them, to speak of us as if we walked according to the flesh.
Okay, and you might want to highlight the word walk there, walk according to flesh. Again, as a sympathize with Satan, or the aspiration man, or the moral code. Put that in there. The word walked. The word walked again has to do with a certain form of agreement, rhythm, or cadence. Okay, rhythm, okay, or a cadence, an activity. Okay, that we're in rhythm really just with our own moral code. All right, in verse 3, we'll see the word walk again.
Though we walk in the flesh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Okay. Now, what does he mean there, though we walk in the flesh? What is he talking about? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that we're still in this physical dimension, so we still live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But our battle is that of the spiritual realm, and therefore that's why we use spiritual tools, that's why we serve God in spirit and truth.
Okay. All right. Which also has to do with force of life is in this present body or vessel. Right? For though we walk in the flesh, or our force of life, our force of life is right now in our in this present vessel. Okay, yet we don't war after these things. Okay, or of course carry the aggressive temperament of this world. To carry the aggressive temperament of this world. We do not war after flesh. Okay. All right, okay, go ahead. Okay.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Okay, highlight the word weapons. Okay. He uses the same analogy concerning a good soldier in Ephesians. Okay, so what would some of these weapons be or tokens? I think Maria was just bringing that out. Okay, some of these weapons, some of these tokens. You know, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. Okay, these are the tokens of our priesthood, which is also our armor, okay, which also replaces the moral code or that which is carnal. That was just carnal. Okay, but mighty through God. I like that one. Because
mm-hmm.
Okay, again, it's the fear, it's the spirit that affects this knowledge within us.
Mm-hmm.
It's mighty through God. Okay, it's the spirit that affects this knowledge in us. It makes this knowledge living. Okay, to a pulling down of strongholds. Okay, you might want to highlight that, a stronghold. Okay, what would be one of those strongholds? Okay, ourself,
mm-hmm.
Satan,
and the world,
right. Okay. Okay, which also has to do with the design of iniquity, okay, in your perception, the design of iniquity in your perception, you're pulling down these strongholds. A certain perception has to be removed, circumcised out of the heart. Okay, but of course, the conscience first has to be established, okay, before the circumcision of the heart can begin. Okay, so we have the strongholds right here. Again, that which is yourself, Satan, and the world. Okay, and we know where the strongholds exist. Because look what he says next. Okay, in verse 5. Okay, we talk about a window.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Okay. Now, let's highlight the word imaginations first. Then we'll talk about the word thoughts. Okay, we talk about the window of the imagination. Okay, now, Satan uses the window of imagination in order to communicate his kingdom to us. And that's why we keep that window shut. Okay, because we can't use imagination with faith right now. Okay, so here he says, casting down imaginations. Also, knocking over. There's another word for casting down. Okay, knocking over Satan's idols, which exist, okay, within imagination. Again, which is a stronghold. Okay, and we use the weapons, these tokens, in order to remove these, okay, these plantings. Okay, this is not a planting of the Lord. Okay, as John the Baptist said, okay, every tree shall be removed. Okay, or every plant should be plucked up. Okay, that has not been planted by God. Okay, of course, which is the Pharisees. Okay, so we're casting down imaginations, or that which Satan sowed within the heart before he came in covenant. And Satan sowed a perception, which became a prejudice. Okay, Satan sowed a perception, which then morphed or grew into a prejudice. Okay, just like Jesus spoke about the tares and the wheat. Okay, when he says, Lord, didn't you sow wheat here? And he says, well, how then comes the tares? And the tares has to do with a perception. Okay, Satan sowed a perception in there in order to, okay, ruin the harvest. Okay, or take away your innocence and keep you in a state of ignorance. So here we're casting down, okay, these things which began to sprout. Okay, now whether it was beyond the sprouting stage, okay, it was these things were casting shadows in your thinking. Okay, so we're casting down imaginations and pruning back and cutting down. Okay, pruning back, purging back. Okay, same language Jesus used in John 15. Okay. As concerning that you may bring forth more fruit. He purges it that you may bring forth more fruit. Okay, of course we can feel the effects of that purging. Okay, we can feel the effects of that purging. Okay, and regarding the cycles of your growth. Okay. Okay, you can feel those effects. Okay, so you're casting down imaginations and every high thing. Okay, so you might want to hide the word high thing and connect the word high thing to the word strongholds. Strongholds. Okay, which also which again is philosophical, an idol, okay, an idol. That's what the Apostle John also spoke about. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, and 1 John 5:21. Okay, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Again, which just has to do with certain philosophies, okay, that you are referencing yourself to for self-importance or worthiness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're referencing yourself to these philosophies for your own, for your self-worth. Okay, but truth continually challenges those things. Okay, that your the worthiness and your competency only exists in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It only exists in Him. It only exists within a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And of course, it's your priesthood, okay, that gives you, or God has assigned us a priesthood for an activity that we can identify ourselves with Him. Okay, without a priesthood, you're not identifying with anything, okay, but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the priesthood helps us to identify, okay, or to stand out, okay, as a peculiar people, a holy nation, okay, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, okay, as Chief Apostle Peter said.
Mm-hmm. And what stands out to me there is also how Christians are taught to look at the Bible and look at their own unworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that what that does for their faith is that sends them on a journey to find their worthiness, but they never look in Christ in the covenant. They begin looking for their worthiness in other things.
Or yeah, in the Bible, I like that, because
mm-hmm.
you stare at the Bible as in a mirror to try to find something in there that looks like you.
Mm-hmm, because
and we all did that.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at the Bible, and I says, I just can't seem to find myself, my own reflection here,
mm-hmm.
because it's a struggle of conscience.
Mm-hmm. Right. I feel so unworthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to find something in here that says or gives me evidence that I am truly worthy before the Lord.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that?
Yes. So they always look at, the Christian faith is always out of guilt. Because of the condemnation they experience through the conscience,
mm-hmm.
but the Lord doesn't want us to approach Him with guilt,
mm-hmm.
but to approach Him with Christ, in the sense that Christ replaces that guilt.
Mm-hmm.
If we walk by faith, then we always see Christ as the remedy,
mm-hmm.
as our righteousness. We're not trying to prove our righteousness by either gaining worthiness in the Bible or through our moral code or through works or whatever we find.
Okay. So when you stare into precept to try to find an image of yourself, okay, you're going to find like a fractured mirror. Okay? But you're not going to see the image of Christ. You're only looking for yourself. If you try to see yourself in this, that's morpho. Okay? You're trying to find something of a worthy value within yourself that you feel is competent, okay, or praiseworthy of God. Okay, but God will not accept anything less than Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I found myself it was easy to share with people, just go visit them and then you tell them about anything you've read in the Bible and you just talk about it and you share because you're using the precept and you're applying it to your life and you model God. So you can take any verse and say, I read this and this is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I came into covenant and learned the truth, then it was more difficult. Because now you've got to talk about grace, and it's deeper,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that's not necessarily in that verse.
Mm-hmm.
It's now a whole
mystery of Christ.
All right,
it's how
the
kingdom
mm-hmm.
works.
And I
found
myself becoming more quiet and quiet. I
mm-hmm.
couldn't just run into people and say, look, I've read this. It was now deeper and trying to share what
mm-hmm.
grace is. Was they wanted to see it in this verse, and then yes, they all rejoice and let's go. We've got something for the day. So that's true. You say when you see that mirror, but it's got no substance. Tomorrow again, you have to get another verse to pick you up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the word walk, again, the word walk identifies a transition. A transition doesn't take place within the precept. Transition takes place within priesthood.
Yeah.
It takes place in the priesthood. So if you don't know what the priesthood of Jesus Christ did, which of course is after you are Melchizedek, okay, then you end up being paralyzed. Okay, neutralized, paralyzed, okay, or inactive, okay, in a sense of building. You can't contribute to the house of God with the image of yourself. Okay, you only can contribute to the house of God in building to the image of Christ. Okay, as whole stones, okay, and as a holy priesthood.
It reminds me of those women that had their looking glasses in the time that they built that their reflection, because that's what you do when you look in a mirror, you see your own reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And what they had to do, all the women brought their mirrors and the glasses, and this was melted, showing that these reflections of ourselves can't be used
mm-hmm.
in the altar, in this knowledge, in that which reflects Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing of ourselves.
That's right.
Such a wonderful
symbol.
So
it was with Moses, right? With the brazen altar.
Yeah, the brazen altar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah. All right. From vanity to reality.
Yeah.
Right. From
mm-hmm.
from yourself to the altar.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
From ourself, the precept is yourself, but the altar, of course, is Christ.
I had a thought.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking how it's liberating, how we can put our shield down. Because when you're looking for something that's praiseworthy, even with God and man, you're looking at the inadequacy in yourself. But God provides Jesus Christ so that we can lay hold on Him, and then we rest in that.
Okay, rest.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we'll talk about that too.
Yeah,
entering into His rest. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good. All right, casting down imaginations, every high thing is against exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, and bring into captivity every thought to be in Christ. Did we read that one? I just read that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we see the word strongholds, weapons, imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
These are Satan's mindsets.
Okay, yeah. A high thing, again, is something that's of a philosophical nature, an idol. Okay, so everything that's of a moral code, okay, is an idol because it's tethered to the flesh, and which is tethered to Satan's kingdom. Okay, and as long as it's tethered to Satan's kingdom, then he holds the strings. He holds your strings like a marionette.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's able to tug on those strings in order to arouse you against truth. He can tug, just pull on those strings right there, and immediately we want to protect or preserve something that we felt was Christ-worthy, okay, within ourselves. But now we see another interesting word here in verse 5, okay, and that's the word knowledge. Okay, knowledge. Okay, which has to here he said, but this knowledge is a knowledge of the Spirit, okay, which is a knowledge of God, knowledge of the Spirit. This is a knowledge which Jesus was bringing out. Okay, when he talks about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now, truth has to do with knowledge, and knowledge and truth again has to do with how knowledge is being molded within you. Okay, so truth, okay, as a definition of truth, truth are facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay. Character again has to do with that form of temperament, doesn't it? Yes, character. His purpose has to do with the direction of this, Okay, our involvement within this, a purpose and a plan, is how this is seen, how this is being played out as predestined. Okay, the plan of God is that which has been predestined by Him before the beginning of the world. The purpose again is how these things are being played out in our own life, how we're participating in that. Okay, the character of it has to do with the temperament that's birthed within it. If these three things aren't evident or present, okay, if one of these elements is missing, okay, then the whole is evil. And the whole is evil. It's the same thing if you were to put the composition of incense together, and yet you left out one important element, okay, the composition of the anointing oil. Okay, if you leave out one composition, okay, of the whole, then the whole is evil. That means it's not acceptable to God. Okay? And also truth has to do with, there's also three manifestations of truth, okay, which is God Himself, okay, God Himself, what He says and what He does, okay. What He does also has to do with the outcome and fruit bearing, okay. God Himself, okay, we can see this being played out here, okay. God Himself, what He says and what He does, okay. So we see a definition of truth, okay. As we read, we see this being defined, okay. So we see the knowledge of God, the holy knowledge, or also known as the doctrine of Christ, or the faith, or truth.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you say the word the faith, you're identifying truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're identifying the doctrine which you're embracing, the faith. Okay. So knowledge, the knowledge of God is the faith. Okay. The knowledge of God is the truth which you're embracing. Okay. The knowledge of God is that which the Spirit is utilizing or sanctifying, okay,
mm-hmm.
for your faith to be made perfect.
That's why it's also called the holy knowledge.
It's called holy knowledge, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can see the knowledge of God has to be present in order to remove, okay, these strongholds. Okay, the strongholds, the prejudice of your own self, okay, that which you were born into, that which you were nourished, okay, whether it be your race, okay, your creed, your associations, your religious confession, whatever it is, okay, you're born into a certain mindset. Okay, and that was nurtured. Okay, nurtured, which means it was confirmed. Okay, by your peers. It was confirmed by your peers, okay, and it was also sustained by your friends, okay, or the group, whoever you hung out with. Okay. Your friends also contributed to that prejudice unknowingly. Okay. All of us were ignorant, okay, of that influence. Okay. But the influence was so sympathetic with our nature, okay, that when truth was present, we felt offended. Because the truth of God, okay, is prejudice to God Himself. It's Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Okay, the truth of God is prejudice to God or Jesus Himself. Okay, it will never change, and everything is measured by that one standard and on that one scale of truth. Okay, so we're able to identify the strongholds, okay, which Satan has planted within us by the truth of God. If it wasn't for the knowledge of God, okay, we would not have eyes to see or ears to hear or heart to perceive, would we? Okay, without the knowledge of God, none of this would be available. Okay, but now another interesting word is captivity. Okay, now the word captivity also means wild by nature. Okay, but you're doing something now, that which is wild by nature. The beastly nature of man is wild. Okay, it's wild. Okay, the instinctive nature of the animals that are around here. Okay, it's wild, and because they're wild, okay, they're subject to no one but themselves, to their own survival. Okay? They're also very timid. They're curious, but they're timid, okay, regarding other things, particularly people. Okay, because God has set that within the signature to avoid people, okay, as not to harass people, okay, or to injure them. Okay, that God sealed it within all His creatures. Okay, and so when Adam was naming them, okay, this power was being sealed within them, okay, that they were not to encroach upon this God. Okay, but Adam, being the God of this world, the second angel, the God of this world, okay, was to set order within that kingdom. Okay, but once Adam fell, okay, there was also a disturbance within that seal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to where certain creatures were able to be encroaching upon Adam, concerning the bite of the snake, the roaring of the lion. Okay, the trampling of elephants, okay, or a stampede of other animals, okay, or being gobbled up by sharks. Isn't it an example of that? Now, none of that would have happened, okay, except once Adam fell, okay, Satan became the god of this world, okay, and now these creatures, okay, are in a state of hostility against Adam. Okay, they're in a state of hostility. Okay, so we're casting down imaginations and every high thing, philosophical idol, and that's why we're not have no other gods before us. That's one of the first commandments. Okay, the Ten Commandments, as well as also the two great commandments. Okay, thou shalt love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, thou shalt love the Lord God with all your heart, which is, has to do with that of faith. Mm-hmm. With all your will, which has to do with the will to serve. Okay, with all your mind, which is the study of doctrine, and all your strength has to do with your sacrifices, proper sacrifices. Okay, this is how we love God and keep His commandments. Okay, but it doesn't stop there. Okay, it also includes your neighbor, which is you, okay, you and me. Okay, we are our neighbors. Okay, we love our neighbor as ourself, okay, which means our love towards God is seen in the face of our neighbor. Okay, so we love our neighbor as ourself. Okay, our love towards God is seen in our neighbor. So he that loves God loves his neighbors also. Okay, but one of the first commandments of the ten is that thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the Lord thy God. Okay, thou shalt have no other gods before me, philosophical or physical. Okay, no other gods before me. Because I am your prototype. Somebody says, I'm the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods, no worship or any gods before me, which means I am your true prototype. Okay, anything else that you exhibit as a philosophy is a lie and a false prototype. Okay, an idol of gold is a false prototype. Okay, if you mold your philosophy after this idol of gold, okay, then you'll be just as stupid as that idol of gold, because the idol of gold has no conscience. Okay, no, it has no reason, no logic. Okay, and it's dead to physical things. Okay, it's dead. Okay, so thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, nothing is to stand as your prototype, but me myself, me myself, not you, but me myself. And you read that, which if we have time, we'll get there. Okay, where the Lord will constantly repeats that, okay, through Moses. Okay, you know, Moses puts the people in mind constantly. Okay, he says, you are to keep these laws, these statutes, these precepts, these commandments and ordinances. Okay, these things are you to keep because this is my commandment. I am the Lord thy God. Okay, it is a spirit that is your prototype, okay, which you must follow in these things by faith. Okay, it's the spirit that's your prototype, okay, which you are to follow these things by faith. If you follow these things by faith, then you behold the true image when I come, and no longer just the shadows of the prototype, okay, when I come. So we're casting down imaginations, okay, now remember, when God speaks, it's through the voice of the conscience, and you hear him, okay, but when Satan speaks, okay, it is more like it's muddled ambiguity, okay, many voices come through the windows of the imaginations. It's like having your house next to a schoolyard, okay, and the kids are out playing. Okay, there's really no distinguishing voice, but you hear a lot of kids. You can hear them out there swinging, playing, and just chasing around and whatever they're doing out there. Okay, so that the window is open in your house, and it's open towards the playground. Okay, the playground is Satan's kingdom out there. Okay, because there's absolutely no order, but absolute chaos. Okay, every child rules on their own means out there. Okay, and that's the way it is in Satan's kingdom. Okay, so if you don't want that voice, the noise out there, keep your window shut, okay? And only that which comes to the door, which is single, okay, you can converse with. You can see that, see? Okay, there's a mm-hmm. one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
When that comes to
yeah, but it's that scripture that says that it's the thief that comes through the window.
The
Christ comes, he's the one that stands the door. So
the door, right.
Mm-hmm. So that's the voice we can confidently
mm-hmm.
identify
mm-hmm.
with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, all right, and then he says another interesting thing. So we talked about knowledge. Okay, the word exalt, okay, which means the word exalt here itself, which means to stand directly against, okay, and to directly against and to oppose the truth. It exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, it will directly come against the truth. Okay. One of the first thing that Satan comes against is stewardship. Okay, because stewardship, okay, is the place of refuge and eyes for the church. Okay, it keeps you in the direction which God wants you to go in, and keeps you in mind of your responsibility. Okay, but it doesn't replace your individual priesthood. is to assist you, but doesn't replace your individual priesthood. Through your individual priesthood, Jesus becomes your psychiatrist and psychologist. Your psychiatrist, okay, in that you love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, you're loving your neighbor, okay, as yourself. Okay, in all psychiatry, if you don't love yourself, you become hostile to other people. Okay, that's like sociology, okay, which includes other people in sociology. So Jesus becomes your psychiatrist. Okay, and you can bring to him all your problems. Okay, in that sense. Okay, so as you stand at the altar and offer your sacrifices, you're making your petitions, your supplications, okay, and your prayers. Okay, and he assists you. Okay, through the work of regeneration, he is your psychologist. Okay, and psychiatrist. Okay, so he is helping you how to love yourself. Okay, so he's your psychiatrist. Now he's helping you love your neighbor. Okay, which is also your psychologist. How to get along with your friends. Okay, how to get along with people. Okay, so every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity, which means to that which is wild by nature, okay, you're now tethering or you're saddling it. Okay, now horses are like wild by nature. Okay, until you go out and you lasso one, a wild horse, you bring it into the stall, okay, or the corral, and there you begin to tame it. You see a lot of movies like that, cowboy movies, okay, where they're bringing in these wild horses, and beautiful stallions, okay, they spot a beautiful stallion, and they want to get that stallion, okay, and tame it, and to make it useful for themselves, okay. Well, God does the same thing with us, because we are wild by nature, okay. Our beastly nature is wild, untamable, lawless, okay. It wants to stand on its own merit. That's what makes it lawless, okay. And people bring that same mindset. Okay, when they be illuminated by the grace of God, they begin to bring that same beastly nature and mindset into the church. Okay, that they want to begin to challenge God on the grounds of their logic. Okay, and they want God to come down, okay, on the level of their logic, and more or less, and confirm, okay, and more or less address those things of his own conscience. Okay, but God won't do that. Okay, God will not be brought down on the level of man's logic. Okay, for the purpose of lassoing, okay, or binding, okay, every kind of everything of Adam's questions about God. And the reason why I say that is because there was a well-known evangelist for the last 50 years. At the conclusion of his whole ministry, he's 80 years old now, 80 plus years old. Okay, he says that he has a lot of questions he wants to ask God, and he feels that that his person down here qualifies him to sit somewhere upstairs, there in the seventh heaven, okay, pull up a chair and start arguing with God about all his struggles with this in a conscience, all his struggles in a conscience. And God's not going to do that. Okay? God's not going to do that simply because he didn't follow the due process or protocol concerning government. Mm-hmm. Okay? Government, truth, spirit. Okay? Prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts of callings, and grace of God. So we're bringing the captivity there in verse 5. Captivity was that which is wild by nature, okay, is now being lassoed, okay, and every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, because everything at that point in time, that which is instinctive to us was wild and prejudiced. Okay, and now we're bringing it, okay, and now under obedience to the law of grace. Obedience to Christ. The law of grace now rules us. Okay? And that takes knowledge, it takes direction, it takes instruction. Okay, in order for you to, you say, know what direction to take and what your responsibilities are. Okay, you have to be taught how to love God. Okay, but that is on his level. Okay, not our level. We can't love God on our level. We have to love God on his level. Okay, which of course is with the tokens of the covenant. We must love God on his level. Okay, in verse 6, I think we left off at... Okay.
And be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Amen. Oh, I like that one. Okay. We have the word revenge, but the word punished is okay. Okay, now we're intelligently serving. Okay, intelligently serving him. Okay, readiness also is intelligently. Okay, intelligently serving, okay, by this renewing of the mind, okay, at the activity of the altar. So having a readiness, you have to be properly dressed to serve the altar. You just can't go in there with your street clothes and expect God to honor your person, okay, or honor what you're doing, because he won't. We know that happened when they did have an Abihu, okay, when they offered strange fire before the Lord, okay, which polluted the sacrifice. And so what was to be sanctifying them and they're consuming them. And this is what happens in the false religious system. Okay, they approach the altar of God in their own person. They approach the altar of God in their own ignorance. They approach the altar of God with a different spirit, okay, which is the spirit of Antichrist. If you approach the God with those things, or those tokens, none of those which are sanctified, okay, then the whole is polluted, corrupt. Okay, the whole is evil, and God will not accept it. So your prayers, okay, will end up turning into your own sin. Okay, remember that's what Moses said. Okay, do not accept their prayers. Remember Moses said that. Okay, and also even the prophet also spoke about that. Their prayers would be turned into sin. Even their prayers become sin before God. That sounds really strange, but that's because everything says you ask and you have not, and when you ask amiss. Your prayer becomes sin because you're asking amiss. You're not properly dressed. Okay, you're not properly prepared. Where's the preparation of truth in your heart? What altar are you approaching to? Okay, you're approaching to Christ, the altar of Christ, or you're approaching the altar of Baal? Okay, and so that's why they're confused. You ask and you have not, and that's because you ask amiss. Okay, as Nadab and Abihu. All right, so having any readiness, all right, which has to do with you're intelligently serving him with knowledge to revenge, okay, all disobedience. Okay, the revenge also has to do with the you're now taking it in a proper perspective. Okay, this is what Joash did, Jehoash. He tore down all the idols and the images and the groves. Okay, and purify the temple, okay, which his father, okay, set up, and which his mother contaminated. Okay, she also had idols in her house. Okay. All right, and so he had to purge all these things, and that's what he did. He had to purge them all, and he had to sanctify them all. Okay, and that was called revival, by the way. Okay, they did not walk down the streets laughing and calling that revival. Okay, like the king is on his horse and everybody was laughing. The king did not have court jesters, okay, walking down the streets making everybody laugh and says, "We're having revival today." Okay, we're all laughing. No, true revival has to do with a commitment of loss and sanctification. Okay, sober-mindedness. Okay, building. That's true revival, as in building. Okay, not just you could say rearranging a few idols in a house is a revival. Okay, and that's in a false religious system, that's what they think they're doing. It says, "Everybody, we're having revival today. I have removed the idol from the right side of the congregation to the left side of the congregation." And everybody comes in and they're saying, "Wow, this is really great." It's just, all you're doing is rearranging your furniture in your house. Okay, really, the house is really the same. Okay, the dimensions of the room have not changed. Okay, but you notice that every time after you rearrange the furniture, it just seems to look better, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that's what happens in a false religious system. All they did is just rearrange the pews, put an aisle from one side to the other side, and everybody thought that this is revival, renewal. No, nothing's happened at all. Okay, it's just more or less a trick of the eye. Okay,
how logic works.
Logic.
See what you're talking about is concerning fellowshipping with God. And they're trying to rearrange these things, but God says, I don't. There's no fellowship in that because it's not me. It reflects,
mm-hmm.
you know, iniquity. And all they're doing is they're just weighing these things back and forth.
Right, you're just rearranging the furniture.
It's like you can beautify it as much as you like, but it's still a house of bone.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's
need
right.
to come out and into the house of bone.
Yeah, they did. The house of Baal was very popular during the times of Ahab. And Jezebel, of course, had her own theology school going on there. They had over 400 people graduate from that, 400 prophets, false
mm-hmm.
prophets of Baal.
Yeah, and you can see what they did was that when they came in and the king or when the prophets were preaching, they tore down those false altars. Mm-hmm. So we can see that God first, before any revival can take place, God first breaks down,
mm-hmm.
Before he's going to build up. He's not going to build up on the old foundations,
yeah.
which
okay.
you've said there, now we want revival on these things. God says, no,
mm-hmm.
it will be on my terms, it will be my way, and he breaks it up all down, and he builds it upon his foundation. And
that's right.
His
way. Amen. That's right. Even if they went into the house of El and took all the idols out of the house of El, it still would have been the house of El.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why God is not sending the church or the priesthood or the stewardship into the house of El. It's the house of El that has to come out. They and the house of El have to come out into the covenant of God.
Mm-hmm.
See? Okay, a readiness. Okay, again, there's an activity, okay, but you have to understand what the activity is. Okay, as Moses prepared Aaron, Aaron prepared his sons. Okay, Moses and Aaron and his sons. Okay, Aaron's sons. Okay, it was Moses, the stewardship, that had prepared Aaron. Okay, and that's the same thing that God is doing today. He's initiated the stewardship in order to prepare the saints for the priesthood. And that's well part of the things that are taking place right now. The Jubilee of the priesthood is happening. Okay, in the church. There was a person just came back, wasn't there? That was in the. That was
One of the believers who came into covenant in 2003, and then she fell away, and now she's coming back. She wrote and said that when she went back into the false religious system, she'd just sit there and just cry during the sermons. But once she would remember the things that she'd learned here, and she said that there was so much peace when she was in covenant studying the lessons and. Functioning in her priesthood.
Amen. Okay, yeah, that's what the Lord is doing. I was hoping Wayne would be here today. Not feeling well.
Yeah.
Praise God. Wayne had an interesting dream, didn't he? On that, how the Lord is dealing with him.
Yeah.
I was hoping he'd be here so we could share some of that. In that dream, how the Lord is really dealing with him. Okay, because God was giving him these dreams in order to give him a form of readiness, okay, like a seeking heart to be in building. Okay, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience, okay, and of course disobedience has to do with that, which is a lawless perspective. Okay, when your obedience is fulfilled, now how is your obedience fulfilled? In your priesthood again. Okay? Now you have been properly prepared to stand before the altar of God. You're not standing before the altar of God in your own person, not in false confidence, okay? but in truth, grace and truth. Okay? Okay, now we come to verse 7. Okay, and I think it's on.
You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ,
mm-hmm.
you should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he.
Amen. Good. Okay, in verse 7, do you look on things after outward appearance, or do you discern these things with a carnal eye as the first covenant? Do you look on things after the outward appearance? See, that's Moses. Because everything in Moses was outward. Okay. Okay. Now, if a man trusts himself, okay, that he is Christ, okay, in that manner of that law, okay, let himself think this again. Think this again, which means you have to be, disobedience has to be brought into obedience. You can't serve Christ with Moses. Okay, you can't serve God with physical things. Okay, after the outward appearance. Okay, or the moral code, the carnal law. Okay. That is, he is Christ. Okay, to trust himself that he is Christ, let him himself think this again. Okay, which he goes back here again, or bringing into disobedience. And when you revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. That is, he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Okay, that is by the invisible priesthood, the second covenant now. Okay, as he was Christ's, okay, of that first covenant. But Christ was only establishing his presence in types and shadows. Okay, until the fullness of time, when Jesus entered into his lot, okay, then that which is the types and shadows, okay, was now removed into the reality. The true tree was there. Everybody now began to see. So this is what the tree really looks like. Because all this time we just kept looking down at the ground, okay, and all we saw was this big blob and the image on the ground. Now we knew something was there all the time because there was a shadow cast, okay. But now we can see what the reality is. Now we can see what was casting the shadow,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. Again, that. So as he represented Christ, but in the types and shadows, okay, and with temporal things, but now, okay, Christ is representing himself with the invisible, eternal things. And that's what we're working with now, the eternal things. Okay, I think we're on verse 8.
Okay. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed.
Okay, I like the word authority. Okay, again, that has to do with form of government. In form of government. For though I should boast somewhat more of authority, that's the position of the stewardship. Okay, which the Lord has given us apostles now for your edification. Okay, the edification has to do with also tokens of beauty. That's just another way of saying it. Edification. Okay, everything that God provided for us is as tokens of beauty. Now remember what Aaron, okay, he was adorned in the tokens of his priesthood, okay, which is also has to do with glory and beauty. Glory and beauty. Okay, because the tokens of Christ, which God puts within us, beautifies our heart. Okay, that which God provides us also beautifies us. Okay, we give off a different scent, okay, or a different fragrance, okay, than when we're in the kingdom of darkness. In the kingdom of darkness, we gave off the fragrance of a rotting cadaver, corpse. Okay, we gave that off because that's death. Okay, death feeds on death. Okay, and we gave off that kind of odor, offensive odor. This is how God views things. Okay, we gave off those things which is an offensive order. Okay, which is death and a death. Okay, but now, by the tokens of Christ, okay, our soul is being beautified, and we're giving off the fragrance now. Okay, that which is the fragrance of life unto life. Okay, in the presence of the saints, it's life unto life. Okay, but when you come against the kingdom of darkness, okay, and tell them that they stink. Okay, of course we don't use that language. we don't tell them that we stink. Okay, he says that you need to be adorned with truth, okay, to remove the offense. Okay, the edification, which is tokens of beauty, and not for your destruction, which is the tokens of ashes of Moses. Okay, the tokens of beauty is the things of the Spirit, not for your destruction, which are tokens of Moses, which is that of the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everything that was utilized under that first covenant was temporal and death was present, okay, which represented that the Messiah had not yet come. Okay, but when he comes, these things will be removed, because the reality is here.
Yeah, it's just like the sacrifices on the altar were consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the same. Those things which were of a portion are consumed, but the things when Christ in his fullness brings forth that part, there's a substance being formed. There's something happening when we use these tokens from above.
That's right, and they're eternal, perpetual. Every sacrifice and every petition and every activity that you initiate in the name of Christ is perpetual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so everything that you do never diminishes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Every minute that you put in the job, okay, there's a wage awaiting you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so every second that you're putting within the kingdom of God, there's a wage awaiting you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for that, so that at the conclusion of your this dimension, you have payday. Okay, the wages of life is Christ.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking also with the physical altar, how you had that physical ash, how that bore testimony
mm-hmm.
to the fact that everything of the
mm-hmm.
flesh perishes with the using,
mm-hmm.
whereas with us, everything of the spirit increases with
increases,
using.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It also reminds me of a dream that one of the saints had in Pretoria, where she was given these tiles, and they were the most beautiful tiles in the whole world. They had this mosaic on them, and they were just very, very beautiful. And the person said, who gave them to her, said, asked her, are you willing to lay your life down for these tiles? Will you protect these tiles with your life? And she said, of course I will. I'll take these tiles and we'll go and share these tiles with the world. And it's those tokens that we've been given, those very beautiful tokens that now have that effect within our souls to reflect the equal beauty of Christ which we have been given.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And tiles also covers. So it's
yeah.
that covers.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That reminds me of a dream that I had about a year or so ago, and beautiful tiles were just raining from heaven, and crowds of people were just standing with their arms reached out, you know, like it was like a beautiful shower of these just beautiful designs and ceramics coming down.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. see how the Lord is prophesying that the knowledge of His truth is going to be like a shower coming down upon the people. I think, too, going back to the ashes, the illustration of the ashes is very good, because if you think about the law of Moses and how it trips up people in the faith, and how people put so much confidence in applying their faith with Moses, if you think about it as ashes, you wouldn't want to put ashes on your body unless it was for false humility. But that doesn't beautify. But the things of Christ, if you think about putting the precious ointment of the Lord and what that symbolizes, the contrast between the two covenants is very much.
Good, okay. He says, well, let's read that again. Which the Lord has given us for education, the Lord, which has to do with the Spirit. Okay, God has assigned these things for the purpose of the tokens of beauty. Okay, your adornment. Okay, and you are adorning yourself in the robes of righteousness, which includes, okay, all the threads of government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, and the gifts, the callings, the graces of God. Okay, are all the threads which are woven within your righteousness, Jesus Christ, that you will not be ashamed or found naked, okay, or fall short. Okay, and not for your destruction. Okay, I should not be ashamed. Okay, we now come to verse 9 there. I think we're on.
That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters.
Okay, the purpose of the letters which he's writing is for the purpose of edification, your doxologies. Okay, that you have substance or knowledge to offer back unto God, okay, in your loved one prophecies. Okay, so he says, I'm not writing these things in order to overwhelm you with knowledge, to overwhelm you with all kinds of responsibility, but rather to help you understand what your responsibility is. Okay, I think now we come to verse 10.
For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, in his speech contemptible.
You might want to highlight that, his speech contemptible. Okay. Yeah, it seems to. This is what they say. Paul says, though his bodily presence is weak, having no earthly display, okay, or temple, you know, to honor. Okay, and his speech contemptible. Okay, because it doesn't stand in record of man, but it stands in record of God. Okay, not by the wisdom of this world. Okay, let such a one think this, that such as we are in word. Okay, and the knowledge, when he says the word, they were talking about the knowledge which we have by these letters. When we are absent, which he's absent today, such will we be also indeed in your sacrifice of priesthood, when we are present, that is sharing in the same knowledge, okay, which is this true spiritual bread. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. Okay, the calling is not for the purpose of competing. Not competing by the world's honor, okay, or that is by their moral code. For we dare not make ourselves a number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves by the moral code. Okay, but they measuring themselves, they using the scales of moral code, okay, as their own virtue, or their own standard, their own virtue, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves by the principle against principle among themselves, are not wise. Because they're really absent of God's perspective. They're not wise, being absent of God's perspective. In verse 13, but we will not boast of things outside of our, without our measure. Okay, but we will not boast that is the knowledge of these tokens outside of Christ. Okay, which is also outside of our, it doesn't possess that of the Spirit. For we will not boast of things without our measure. Okay, that which God has assigned to us. That the scales which everything is measured by, okay, everything which is tethered to. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure, the true grace, okay, which is Christ, okay, the rule, okay, but according to the measure of the true, okay, of the rule, okay, which God has distributed to us, the apostles, and measure to reach even to you, okay, which gives direction. That which even which reaches unto you, which gives direction, tether. Another word, measure. There is also a tether of knowledge, okay, which touches all saints. In verse 14. All right, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, okay, as to cast a shadow of the aspiration on you, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as to cast a shadow, as though we reach not unto you, okay, but we're not touching you as the aspiration, capable of our presence is for the refuge. Verse 14, we are come as far to you as also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, okay, not in that which is in rhythm with Adam's signature, but having hope that when your faith is increased, and that's the goal, okay, that's the goal of, okay, as yourself as stewards of the stewards of the grace of God, okay, is for the purpose of the increase, okay, you're giving knowledge for the increase, okay, that we should be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, okay, so what we share is what we all grow by in Christ, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not boast of other men's line of things. Okay, that is that. Another way to say that. Regions beyond you, not to boast or to find refuge of confidence in the moral code, okay, of man's standard. Not to boast in another man's line of things. Okay, again, to take confidence in the moral code, okay, but things which are ready made to our hand, that's to labor with and labor under, made ready to our hand. The knowledge which we're present receiving is what we're putting on the altar. But he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Okay, and glory the Lord, not in Moses' law, or in the carnal aspirations, or in the measure of man. Okay, that's what you're overcoming, yourself, Satan, and the world. For not he that commends himself is approved, okay, which would be of that moral code, but whom the Lord commends, which is the standard of Christ.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.